And welcome to chapters 2 and 3 of The Legends of King Arthur. I'm going to do 2 chapters today because chapter 2 is quite small, so I didn't want to be too cheeky and I thought best to do them together. So let's get started. Chapter 2. War raged for 16 years. Villages were burned down. Men were too busy fighting to harvest, and ungathered crops rotted in the fields. The air was thick with smoke and the wailing of new widows and orphans. The whole country was caught up in the fighting and the misery, hunger and disease that civil war brings with it. At last the great lords called a truce. They said that they were sick of war. Just before Christmas, they met together in the hall of the cathedral at London to see if they could settle their arguments. First, there was feasting and laughter. Then there were curses and insults, and suddenly swords were drawn. "Stop this!" thundered a voice. The voice was loud enough for everyone to hear and cold enough to freeze them where they stood. Merlin walked through the hall, staring straight into the eyes of each man as he passed. No one could hold the enchanter's gaze for long. "While you squabble like dogs over a bone, Britain lies in ruins," Merlin scolded. "It's time for peace." "There'll be no peace until we have a king," said one of the lords. "Choose one of us, Merlin." Other voices called out in agreement, but Merlin shook his head. "High kings are born, not chosen," he said. "But I will make you a magic that will find him." Merlin circled his hands in the air and a light shone in through the windows of the hall. The light was so bright that the men covered their eyes. "Follow me," said Merlin. "See what I have done." It was cold outside the hall and the twilight air was grey. There in the churchyard stood a block of pure white marble. On top of the marble was an iron anvil, and sunk deep into the anvil was a sword. The jewels on the hilt of the sword glowed softly in the last of the daylight. Written on the block in letters of gold were the words, "Whoever draws this sword from the anvil and the stone is the true-born High King of Britain." "Go back to your castles," commanded Merlin. "Send messengers out to every knight in the land. Tell them that a tournament will be held in London on New Year's Day. The champions of the tournament will be the first to try and draw the sword." The crowd of noblemen slowly left the churchyard until at last only one knight remained. It was Sir Gawain, a young man who was famous for his courage and his skills in battle. He gazed at the sword and the anvil and was deep in thought. "What is it, Gawain?" Merlin asked. "Do you want to try and draw the sword?" "Not me," laughed Gawain. "I'm no true-born high knight, but I'll fight on the side of the man who is, even if he turns out to be my worst enemy." "He won't be," Merlin said. "You and the High King will be close friends." "You know who he is already, don't you?" said Gawain. Merlin said nothing, but he smiled. It was a thin, strange smile. Chapter 3. Arthur was a squire. That meant he could wear a short sword at his belt and dress in fine clothes on special occasions, but also meant that he was at the beck and call of his older brother Kay. Kay was already a knight and should have known better, but he seemed to enjoy ordering Arthur about. He even made Arthur empty out his bath water and groom his horse, treating him more like a servant than a squire and a brother. Arthur could have complained to their father, but he knew that Sir Ector would only take Kay's part. Kay was the favourite, and Sir Ector made no secret of it. Besides, Arthur wanted Kay to like him, and he thought the best way to go about it was to do everything that Kay wanted without grumbling. When he wasn't being Kay's skivvy, Arthur learned about being a knight. As a small boy, he had imagined that being taught how to hold a lance and a sword would be exciting, but it wasn't. It was mostly doing the same things over and over again and still getting them wrong. His trainer, the Master at Arms, was stern but fair. "You've got a lot to learn, but there's the makings of a knight in you, lad," he kept telling Arthur. Arthur hated being called a lad. He was nearly as tall as Kay and still felt quite grown up, but everyone treated him as though he was still a child. The Christmas after Arthur's 16th birthday, a mysterious messenger arrived at the castle. Sir Ector saw him in private and then sent a servant to fetch Kay. "Can't I go as well?" Arthur asked his brother. "This is knight's business, not squire's," Kay replied haughtily. "Why don't you run along and play like a good little boy?" Arthur was dying to give Kay a kick for this insult, but he knew it would only cause trouble, so he went out into the courtyard to find a stone to kick instead. He noticed the messenger's servant guarding his master's horse. Arthur strolled over and pretended to admire the animal. Before long, he and the servant started to chat. "There's going to be a big tournament in London," the servant said. "The biggest ever, so they say. My master's riding about, inviting all the best knights to it." "Really?" said Arthur. "And that's not all," said the servant. "There's talk going around that at the end of the tournament, the knights are going to choose a high king and put an end to the war. Of course, if you ask me..." Arthur didn't listen to the rest. He wasn't interested in the business about the high king, but the thought of going to a great tournament made his heart beat faster. He'd never been to London. He'd be able to wear the new clothes he'd been given for his birthday, and a sudden thought made him panic. He rushed into the castle, almost colliding with the messenger who was coming down the staircase, and burst into Sir Ector's private chamber. "Sir Ector," said Sir Kay, stared at him in astonishment. "You can't," panted Arthur. "I mean, you mustn't. It wouldn't be fair." "What are you babbling about, boy?" snapped Kay. "The tournament in London," said Arthur. "You are going to take me, aren't you?" Kay's eyes went small with anger. "How dare you talk about that way," he hissed. "How dare you burst into my father's chamber? I can see you need a good ducking in the horse trough." "Leave the boy alone, Kay," said Sir Ector firmly. "He's got himself excited that he's forgotten his manners. I know someone else who used to do that at his age." Kay closed his mouth tight. Sir Ector turned to Arthur with a warm smile. "Yes, you're coming to the tournament," he said. "You're to be Kay's shield-bearer." "Thank you, father," gasped Arthur. "I've told you before about calling me father, boy," Sir Ector said. "You must always call me Sir Ector." "Yes, Sir Ector," Arthur mumbled. "Now go down to the stables and tell the grooms to make the horses ready," said Sir Ector. "We're leaving for London at daybreak tomorrow." And that's the end of chapter 3. I wonder what's going to happen at this tournament. I have a sneaky feeling that Arthur's going to get mixed up in something. Perhaps he's going to have a go at pulling the sword.